Coming up today on the show, we are going to do the definitive comparison between the monorail and the Skyliner. That is coming up today on Traveling with the Mouse. What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode number 492.
Getting closer.
Ever so closer. Traveling with the Mouse. My name is Adam. I'm joined today by John.
Welcome aboard the Disney Skyliner. Oh, I don't know. I can't remember.
Wait, what?
Or welcome aboard the Walt Disney World monorail.
Yeah. Actually, I should have done.
Our highway in the sky. I think I'm doing the era spiel that I liked the best, apparently.
Yeah, the mid-90s, maybe, or...
Yeah, late 90s, probably.
'90s, yeah.
If you're disembarking.
But the Skyliner has that little chime. Yeah, every time they talk. So there's a comparison already, is like, which spiel is more recognizable?
Ooh.
So we are going to do, as I said, definitive... A very thoroughly investigated.
Definitive. So this comparison. This is it. The winner is the winner. If it's definitive. Well,
this is a scientific approach of comparing the two transportation systems on 14 different categories. And then we just see which one comes out.
I don't believe in science. When it comes to the transportation game, it's all instinct.
Yeah.
Let's hope not when it comes to the transportation game.
Yeah.
Instinct.
Yeah.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Yeah, again, that's Jack Wagner. We spared no expense. And that has lasted how many? Over 50 years now?
That one little spiel has, yes. Still going.
So that's pretty cool. So, is there any news that we want to talk through real quick? There is a few stories that came out before we get to that. Nothing major, though.
Do tell. What would you like to discuss?
Kids eat free in 2026? Is this...
I haven't really looked into that, but it's kind of self-explanatory, I think. Do you have to get the dining plan, though, I'm assuming?
It says there's a free dining plan. So, throughout 2026, guests staying at one of more than 25 resorts will get a free dining plan for their kids when purchasing a dining plan as part of their package for the other members of their party, 10 and up.
So in my case, I would have to pay for my wife and myself for the dining plan package, but then my kids would be
free,
exempt from the charge.
Yep.
It's not a bad deal overall because... The kids cost almost as much as the parents did on the dining plan. So,
yeah. The interesting part about this, usually free dining can't be combined with any other offers, but it says the kids' free dining plan can be combined with other select special offers, meaning they'll may be eligible to take advantage of other deals for 2026.
I wonder which ones those are, though.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, we don't have any deals yet for 2026, so
right,
you can book 2026 now as
of course
last week, but
that's actually a little earlier than it used to be, I think.
Has it? I don't know,
maybe I'm thinking of how I was able to book. No, that's about right, because I was able to book, like, you can book anything in 2026.
I think so, most of 2026.
I just remember that time when I booked a trip, like, I think it was like a year and 3 months in advance or something like that.
Yeah.
Basically, it was June and it was June of 18 and I booked a trip for September of 19, which of course I modified.
Yeah.
Before the time came. I think I was originally scheduled to stay at like one of the value resorts, but then Grandestino was erected with...
Careful.
Oh, and then when it first was open, though, they had like these spectacular deals, like unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm paying more for Pop Century than I did for that first months of.
And that was in a tower room. You got a tower room for like $199 or something ridiculous like that.
I paid $175 for a tower room.
I couldn't remember specifically.
Back in July 2020.
I was like, man, that's such a good deal. And now it's like almost three times. No, I was kidding.
Yeah, it's at least 300 something, yeah, with discount. Yeah.
It's at least twice what it was when you first got it.
Yeah, it's at least $100 more minimum, yeah. Here's something cool, though, another story that came out, which is about Smuggler's Run. More details about what you can do starting next May. This actually gets me pretty excited because it's not...
Oh, really?
It does. So it says, starting May 22nd, 2026, Disney World, Disneyland, Smuggler's Run will allow guests to control, like never before, the Millennium Falcon. For the first time ever, the crew will be in control of their own destination, leading to potential adventures on Bespin, the wreckage of the second Death Star around Endor, or the just-announced bustling city planet of Coruscant. Which I thought would be cool.
So we finally got back to Coruscant.
So it actually gives a lot of rewritability to Smuggler's Run. And it's
I mean, if it needs it, I mean, I think it's rewritable now, but it definitely will help having multiple especially it'd be even better if you could choose. Surely in this day and age, they figured out a way to do that instead of it being random like they do in Star Wars. No,
that's what it says. It says you'll be able to...
Oh, my bad.
Of it. Yeah. It says the crew will be in control of their own destination, leading it to potential adventures on Bespin, the second test package, or Coruscant.
So is it one of those things where the crew will be in control? So you choose, or is it based on how you fly?
I'm wondering,
or is it one of those things like Horizons when you chose, like they had everybody vote and majority ruled?
I thought you had to agree.
No, you don't have to agree because in Horizon it actually says the phrase majority rules.
I don't remember.
It's telling you just pick it. Vote.
That's funny. I just don't remember that part. I guess been too long. I just thought it was like you had one button in front of you, and one you could choose.
The thing is, they weren't like you didn't have individual seats per se. So they had. I think the ideal was four people in one of those. So they had four different.
They did
three options. They had four different three option lighting up. Yes.
Really? Huh. I guess I didn't realize that.
And I usually like if nobody was choosing, I would like choose the one I wanted for someone else, of course, but.
What happens if you tied?
Good question. I don't know.
Anyway. So I don't know how that's going to happen, but this is another good improvement. They're going to allow the engineer to communicate with Grogu during the mission. So basically on Smuggler's Run, the engineer's just sitting there. I mean, that's basically all you're not really doing much.
He's repairing the ship.
Right. Okay. Repairing the ship.
He helps keep the ship together so it doesn't look so bad at the end. Doesn't cost you as much money.
It's why there's never anybody in single rider for Smuggler's Run, because you always end up as engineer and you just sit there. And you're okay, I can push a button. But at least with your gunner, at least you feel like you're doing something besides just pushing a button.
Yeah, the gunner feels a little repetitive to me, though.
Yeah. And I'm not a huge fan of the way that you steer the ship, because up and down and then left to right, you really have to be coordinated with someone, and most of the time...
Yeah, you have to really be, you have to be in sync.
Yeah. But anyway.
To their credit, my girls this last time actually did not too bad. We got two coaxiums. I mean...
Yeah, that's good. I mean, you're doing something right when you get two of them, so...
Yeah.
But anyway, I think this would be really awesome to. I would probably pick Cloud City first, though. It would be my first choice, wouldn't it be? Bespin. Bespin's pretty far, but I think we can make it. That's, of course, exactly what I would say.
I mean,
the mining town?
It doesn't really matter to me.
I think it's the most quotable, because that's what I would say. I guess if we went to Endor, I would be quoting the original Star Tours, I guess.
Well, this is interesting. Lando.
Yeah. The Lando system?
Lando is not a system. He's a man.
Yeah. Anyway. We spent way too long on that.
Yep.
All right. Other thing I wanted to mention was there's a few more details about this pass holder days this summer from May 14th to July 31st. One is the 40% dining discount at select locations. I would have thought it was going to be like a blanket 20% at most. I think that's what it was last year. But this year, a handful get a 40% discount. But it's Monday to Thursdays only, so during the week.
Of course.
Participating slower. Weekends are excluded here, Friday, Saturday, Sundays. But from May 14th to June 30th, it's Boat Rights Dining Hall at the Port Orleans, Cape May Cafe, Hollywood and Slime, Hollywood and Vine.
Good lord.
And Toledo, which Coronado, I haven't been there in a while. I should go back. Tusker House.
Toledo's the one at the top, right?
It
was okay.
That's the seafood. Yeah, it was fine. But those, I've already booked a Tusker House for my upcoming Memorial Day, that time period trip.
A breakfast, a lunch, a dinner.
Well, it says here it's lunch and dinner only. And for Cape May Cafe, it's also dinner only. So the breakfasts are excluded. So I booked a lunch at Tusker House.
You know, when it comes to a place like Tusker House, though, seriously, is there that big of a difference in the price between breakfast and lunch that you have to exclude it? Come on.
Yeah, it went right. I guess breakfast is cheaper, though.
Not that much.
Lunch is like $62 for an adult. And with the discount, puts it to like $37, $38.
No. So what it was 2 years ago.
Okay. Right, yeah. So I'm like, hey, this is a great price for a character meal.
Okay, I'm exaggerating just a little bit. It was a little longer than 2 years ago, but...
Right, but not, yeah.
It wasn't as long ago as you would think.
Like, I vividly remember not paying that much for a character meal.
Right, right.
So yeah, I'm taking advantage of that, though. The next one is July 1st through the 31st, Ale and Compass, Coral Reef, the Diamond Horseshoe, Tiffin's, which I'm surprised is on there, and Whispering Canyon. So
okay.
Monday to Thursday only, but 40%. That's pretty good. And then they talked about the lounge. Again, it's going to be at Marrakesh, which hasn't been utilized as an actual restaurant since before the pandemic. But it's the same as it was before. You get free snacks, charging station, a button, and a special photo pass picture. When I did it last year, it was Genie. So it was kind of cool. But it's first come, first serve basis on the lounge. So, all right. So we can dive into this big topic that we talked about, which is Skyliner v. Monorail.
It's a heavyweight matchup, folks.
So you know where I stand, and I know where you stood recently on talking about these two, but I figured we could do a scientific approach and objectively look at it. So, of course, I did some deep research using artificial intelligence and came up with a 25-page report.
Wow.
On this.
That's something that our intelligence wouldn't have come up with.
Yeah. Well, I just wouldn't have spent this much time trying to figure this out. Because for me, it's the monorail, but it has nothing to do with science. It has everything to do with nostalgia and my gut. See,
this is one of the good things about AI is it can compile something in like, I don't know, 30 seconds or whatever. It would take you how long?
Yeah, I can tell you exactly how long. And the deep research feature now, it actually takes a decent amount of time, but again, nowhere near the amount of time it would take me. Let's see. It took it 24 minutes to compile this.
24 minutes.
So about a minute per page. So when we look at it, obviously the monorail has been around a lot longer than the Skyliner. Monorail since opening day. And Skyliner since, was it 2019? October, was it? When did it officially open? Sometime in 2019.
Yes, it was the fall of 2019. I think it was late September, early October.
Yeah, if I remember right. I also mentioned that when it came to like incidents and things, I'm like, take that into consideration because the monorail has a whole lot more history. The Skyliner hasn't had enough of a history there to like.
Yeah, but let's be fair. The Skyliner just had a few bugs at the beginning, and that's pretty much been it.
Sure.
So,
but a much longer history. I mean, the monorail's track record, probably if you just looked at it over time, the number of passengers who have died versus the number of passengers who have been on the monorail is probably like 0.00000000001%. Yeah.
Has someone actually died because of an incident on the monorail? I'm sure they've died for some reason.
Yeah, you don't remember.
The monorail's been around. I'm sure there's somebody that died on it.
It was the driver, though, that
not died. Performance. Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. Right. I wasn't even thinking about that, but I'm talking about like, has there been a guest? I'm sure there's been a guest that died of other reasons. It's surely in a 50-year history.
Right. There was that fire in like 1985 that...
I do remember that.
I don't think anyone died, though.
I actually still have the...
newspaper article?
Yeah, I have the scanned version. I scanned it to the computer. But I'm sure I still have the actual article somewhere.
Yeah, I remember seeing it at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So let's dive into what it did. The first comparison of the two is speed and travel time.
This is the first, travel time and speed are kind of the,
by travel time, it means how long does it take to get to all its different destinations, maybe?
Well, I get it, but that's kind of like a result of the speed. But anyway.
Right. Well. All right, well, let's just go through it. This is an unbiased look at this thing. So, monorail travels much faster, obviously. It has a maximum speed of 40 miles an hour. But, of course, it doesn't actually ever really go that fast in practice.
Never?
I don't think so. So
I think it's made it probably wide open, maybe at, say, the end of the evening, leaving Epcot or going to.
You think it actually goes 40? I don't think it goes. It may go 30.
I think I've seen it. It feels faster during those moments. Let's put it that way. Mm. I think they open it up.
Well, it does say actual speeds vary by track section. So
its highest speed would probably be on that section right when it's running parallel to World Drive.
Yeah. It says, as you said, the Epcot line covers 4 miles in roughly 12 minutes travel time, not including waiting or transfer time. Express monorail from TTC to Magic Kingdom is nonstop. It only takes a few minutes. But Skyliner goes around 11 miles an hour. It feels about right. 11 miles an hour. So it says Skyliner can go from the hub at Caribbean Beach to Hollywood Studios in about 5 minutes. And Caribbean Beach to Epcot takes about 12 minutes. The boat is, like 18 minutes, supposedly, but I feel like the boat is slower. Feels way slower than Skyliner. The French. But anyway.
Yeah, I guess.
Talking about.
But the Skyliner is made for, what's the word? It's made to be a more streamlined or much like the monorail, except that the difference is this is like flying over things instead of.
Yeah.
Around things in some cases for the monorail, right? So,
yeah, very different.
But I mean, the Skyliner's not. The design wasn't so much. It wasn't made for
speed. Yeah,
speed as much as it was a faster line of sight, maybe like a shorter, like a more efficient travel method.
Yeah,
we'll say then because you don't have to. Cause you can actually go over trees and things. Like you can have a shortest distance between two points as a straight line type deal.
Yeah, right.
So
yeah. whereas the monorail has the curve around things and whatnot. But okay, so yes, monorail is faster. That's bottom line. That's so I guess the monorail takes that one because it's faster. That's one.
I guess that's true.
So this one was interesting though, capacity and throughput. So the monorail can carry 360 passengers per train at full capacity. So each train has six cars. Each monorail has six cars. They can have up to 12 trains in service. I don't know if they always have that many, but so it says the monorail can handle around 150,000 guests per day. So it's pretty good. It equates to a theoretical peak of roughly 7,000 guests per hour across the system.
I find it hard to believe that they have that many ever. Yeah. But yeah.
But I guess that would be its max capacity, whatever. And it says the Skyliner, there's over 300 gondola cabins seating up to 10 guests, which I don't think I've ever seen it that full. Usually, if it's not busy, they're letting
smaller. Here's the thing with the Skyliners. It's not so much needed because it's constantly moving for one thing.
Right.
That increases its capacity in itself, right? Yeah. It even says it right here, thanks to this constant loading, right?
Right. And then new cabins are dispatched every 10 seconds or so because it's constantly loading and unloading, which you don't know to think about it. You know, the Skyliner is kind of like a people mover.
Oh, it is.
That was the concept.
Right? That, I'm pretty sure that name was taken.
Yeah, well. But I guess it's a cheaper version of the...
It's the Sky Buckets, but more luxurious, and it's a more... It's a gondola system. It's not... I mean, gondolas have been around for a long time.
Sure. But it is a constantly moving thing. Like the people mover concept was, where it was just right. Like...
Well, like I said, the Sky Buckets were too.
Yeah.
They were constantly moving. They came in and turned around just like a Skyliner does, so...
Yep, just going back and forth constantly, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it says peak capacity is about 4,000 to 5,000 guests per hour in each direction. So the Skyliner can move the equivalent of about 40 busloads of people every hour. So that's pretty...
So it's more efficient than the bus.
Yeah. Definitely. So I was surprised that it gave the edge on this to the Skyliner because it says both systems handle high volumes, but the slight edge goes to the Skyliner. The monorail's per train capacity is huge, and in aggregate, the system serves slightly more people per day. However, in terms of sustained throughput rate, the Skyliner is comparable and designed to move 4,500 guests per hour. So I guess what they're saying is over the, I guess the constantly moving nature of it means it can be more efficient, I guess, because the monorail has to make stops.
Yeah. It's more efficient,
I suppose.
One of the things, and here's the other thing about the Skyliner, your odds of getting your own car are much higher than the monorail.
Yeah, that's true because, you know, yeah.
But I should have saved that for later. That should have been the, I should have been one of the concluding arguments. Yeah. But anyway.
Is it just me or was it when we were kids? I felt like we got to sit on the monorail more often. Now I feel like I'm standing on the monorail all the time.
Well, there was fewer guests there during the times we went, especially. There was fewer people going on, probably. I mean, their attendance for the longest time has done nothing but go up.
Yeah.
So... I mean, I would wager that just say, for example, there's more guests even in 2025 where there's a potential for it to have a slowdown. There's probably still going to be more guests visit the resort in 2025 than did in 1995.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. So this is an interesting comparison. Coverage and connectivity. So the monorail... is limited to two main corridors, obviously the Magic Kingdom area, and then the express loop between TTC and Magic Kingdom, as well as TTC to Epcot. So, which we all knew that. But it serves two theme parks, Magic Kingdom and Epcot, as well as three resorts, which, of course, we know is Polynesian Contemporary and Grand Floridian.
Mm-hmm.
So the Skyliner. All right. Okay. Well, it says the monorail does not reach Hollywood Studios or Animal Kingdom, Disney Springs, or the majority of resorts. The Skyliner coverage is the main hubs at Caribbean Beach. It has a branch to Epcot, to Hollywood Studios, and Art of Animation, Pop Century, as well. So it directly serves two theme parks and four resorts.
Versus two theme parks and three resorts?
Right. So it has Caribbean Beach, Riviera, which is a deluxe, and the Pop Century Art of Animation. So you get a mod, two values, and the deluxe.
You get more variety.
Right. Which Magic Kingdom only has deluxe resorts, obviously.
In all fairness, you got to think about the time period in which it was constructed.
Right.
I mean, yeah, there was really all the hotels. Yeah, all the hotels being built were all the same.
Yeah, initially there wasn't a deluxe. It was just those were the hotels.
Right. It was not until Caribbean Beach was designed that there was a, I don't know, what's the best way to put that? A different standard of hotel for all Disney property.
Right, right.
That was the first one, I guess, anyway, now that I think about it, the first one that had outdoor corridors, like outdoor doors, not indoor.
Right. Yeah. The motel style, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But that does give an interesting advantage for the Skyliner because it also indirectly benefits the Epcot hotels. So you have Yacht and Beach. They're not necessarily directly on the line, but you can reach Yacht and Beach, Boardwalk, Swan and Dolphin, even with the Skyliner.
So, this is true because the International Gateway one is almost like right there at Beach Club for sure.
Yeah.
Not too far away from Boardwalk.
And Yacht Club's not too much further. And Swan Dolphin's far, but it is technically connected as well. But it doesn't connect to Magic Kingdom or Animal Kingdom. So Epcot, as of this
right
comparison. But it is interesting that Epcot, it's like front and back entrances of Epcot are both connected by the most Disney transportation you can imagine. So Epcot definitely has the advantage on.
I feel like that turn station, though, serves as a potential for expansion over to across the road.
Right. It's a potential hub, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think people have looked. If you draw a straight line, you could connect to Coronado Springs and then connect from there to Blizzard Beach and Animal Kingdom, potentially with Skyliner. So
I don't think it's close enough for Blizzard Beach. I mean, I guess to me, I mean, though, if you look at the straight across, it does look like it could touch close enough to Destino to have a decent station and then close enough, at least, to Animal Kingdom to have a station. So,
yeah. And if you go as far as Animal Kingdom, you might could stretch to Animal Kingdom Lodge and have a branch that serves that resort, which should be interesting.
Right. The only thing with this is that would require them probably closing the Skyliner for an extended period of time to get that one line going. So it's probably not going to happen anytime soon, if ever, if they do it that way. So,
yeah.
The only way I could see that happening is if they make that almost like a second hub. And they construct on the new line before connecting the two, right? Like they can keep the existing one running while they're building the other one.
Yeah.
Like they're building adding on to that platform, so to speak. So.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah. Right. So it wouldn't cause necessarily delays.
Because you wouldn't want the Skyliner to be down so lengthy that it's like building a whole new station there. You know what I mean?
Right.
That would be problematic.
Right. We have video evidence of that when Grand Floridian was being built, they didn't shut down the monorail. They just built the station around it. I guess they didn't really.
Yeah.
They made it down occasionally, but.
I'm not really sure. That was so long ago. I feel like that's one of those things where Disney probably was creative enough that they could have done work on a lot of that during the hours in which the monorail was closed.
Possibly, yeah.
Overnight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because think about it, a lot of their crew is already used to working, at least their theme park crew is already used to working at night, so.
Right. So, when it comes to coverage, there's no clear winner, it says. And it's an interesting reasoning why, because it says the Skyliner does serve more resorts, but Magic Kingdom is kind of the big difference maker for the monorail because it is the most visited park, and the monorail, you know, servicing that and Epcot, which is maybe probably the second most, as well as, you know, Hollywood is not far behind probably, but it's kind of almost like a draw here on this.
Well, here's one thing you could consider.
Mm-hmm.
One theme park has two of these options, right? So it's not like they're connecting two separate parks. There is a common denominator in Epcot between the two modes of transportation.
Yeah.
So you're really only gaining the difference between Hollywood Studios or Magic Kingdom. Which one do you need the most to have the convenience to, I guess?
Yeah. And didn't Jason do this a couple years ago? I don't remember where he did the Big Thunder. He was like standing in Big Thunder and then he reached Galaxy's Edge, Millennium Falcon, essentially, in like just over an hour from walking out of Magic Kingdom, getting on the monorail, switching to the Epcot monorail, going to Epcot, going through Epcot to the Skyliner, Skylining to Hollywood Studios, and then walking to Hollywood Studios to Smuggler's Run, and got there in an hour and like five.
Yeah, because I think we determined that Smuggler's Run was the furthest point from the front. Yeah.
The furthest 2 points of any two parks connected by non-bus.
A very just made up, completely random, odd
challenge.
Yeah. Yes.
So the next one is guest experience. So this is a hard one, I would think, to weigh, but it says the monorail is often described as a classic Disney experience, an attraction in its own right. The trains are fully enclosed, air conditioned, you know, with some mildew probably, but that happens.
Dang.
I mean, you know, am I wrong? Offering a cool respite from the Florida heat. The cars both have seating and standing. The ride itself is generally smooth and quick, generally. There's a certain thrill and nostalgia to the monorail, known as the highway in the sky. It passes through the contemporary, which is definitely a cool, still, I think it's still a cool thing that you get to go through the contemporary. I think I still like doing that.
I like doing it on the express monorail just because you don't stop. You like actually pass through.
So yeah, of course you get to go through Epcot. You sort of circle the park, like the Future World area or the, what do they call it now? So the Skyliner though, the cabins are smaller, but holds fewer people for each cabin. But the views are a panoramic type view, which the monorail doesn't necessarily have. You get some good views of the parks, lakes, resorts, different things. It's almost like a flying tour above Disney World, it says. One important note is that the Skyliner cabins are not air conditioned, but they are ventilated by a passive airflow. Disney designed them with a reflective window that blocks 90% of sunlight and vents that create a breeze as the gondola moves. I know this was talked about before it opened that, oh, this is going to be like a heat trap and whatever. I've never felt too hot in a Skyliner, so.
No, only if it stops.
Yeah. And I've only felt, you know, chilly, say, if it's a cold day and the windows are open. So sometimes
You have the option.
Close the windows, yeah. But.
So there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if you just, you know, want to test it out, you can close the vents on a hot day and just see how that works out.
You could. I've never done that, though.
Yeah. Anyway.
If the Skyliner cabin does stop moving for an extended time, it can definitely warm up. But I've not experienced that, thankfully.
Nope. I don't really think that's even happened since the incident early on, really. Not an extended period of time. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. So it says the verdict says both are enjoyable, but differ in atmosphere. The monorail wins on comfort. or spacious cabins and air conditioning. And that classic Disney nostalgia. Did I say nostalgia?
Sure.
And of course, the Jack Wagner, please stand clear of the doors, is pretty cool that that's still around. But it says the Skyliner wins on views and novelty.
So they're saying this is kind of a tie?
I guess. I mean,
they're saying they both win in different aspects of this category?
I guess it's depending kind of, on how you look at your guest experience. Right?
Well, I would add
what I would call a benefit to the Skyliner. I know it said, they talked about the size of it and mentioned earlier, once again, the Skyliner is more intimate than is the monorail.
Yeah.
You very rarely have to share it with other guests.
But I will say when you do share it with other guests, it's almost like that elevator etiquette of like, we just don't say anything usually unless they're friendly or whatever.
I think we have a tendency to make some conversation.
Yeah, it just depends, yeah. Actually, Jason and I were riding it once with someone who was, like, very afraid of it. Like, they were, like, terrified. And we were, like, talking them through, like, it's not that bad, and it's, you know. And it stopped at one point, and they freaked out. And we're like, it's okay, does this, it'll keep moving in a second, you know. We just talked her through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But
I think the most intense part of the Skyliner is coming into the station.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, that freaked her out too when you like whoosh and you like swing a little bit and you're wondering if you're going to hit the one in front of you. But
that's never happened. With no one in it, thankfully.
Yeah. So speaking of downtime and reliability, it says the monorail has been operating since 1971 and has kept running almost continuously during park hours, generally very reliable day to day. But as an aging system, it does see occasional technical issues.
I think it's being a little friendly.
Well, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, like we hear about everything that happens now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still, you know, not highly unreliable, I would say. It says evacuations are rare, but have happened. Usually via a cherry picker or by walking guests along an elevated beam to the nearest exit. Despite these issues, such breakdowns are infrequent and relative to the number of trips run, you know, very minimal. The monorail is not much affected by weather. Now, this could be a huge kind of advantage for the monorail over the Skyliner because only extreme or severe weather would shut the monorail down, such as a hurricane or lightning hitting the system directly. It says it's a key reliability advantage in the Central Florida climate. So it can, and Disney can and does run the monorails through the frequent afternoon thunderstorms that would halt the Skyliner. So that has happened quite a bit with the Skyliner. It's like, we want to get on it, but they've said, oh, there's lightning in the area, so we're shutting it down. But the Skyliner is generally very reliable as well. The gondola technology is a proven reliable system. Cabins continuously move, and the system can slow or speed up as needed for spacing. The normal operations has minimal unplanned downtime. Brief stops are often just to accommodate the loading of a wheelchair-accessible gondola. However, the weather is the Skyliner's Achilles heel, it says, because it uses tall metal towers and aerial cables. The Skyliner must close whenever lightning or strong winds are in the area for guest safety.
Yeah, I say take the chances with the lightning.
Well,
let's just see what happens.
Oh, see if you get struck by lightning?
Yeah.
That may not be fun. So because high winds can affect it as well, there are frequent closures during the summer months when there are thunderstorms almost daily. So that is a bit of a thing there. And it does mention, you know, October 5th, 2019, just after opening, there was a jam at the Riviera station, which caused several gondolas to
wait a minute now,
resulting in a system-wide failure. Guests were stranded for up to 3 hours, but no one was hurt.
I was going to say, but did you die?
Well, okay, so it says the monorail is the winner here, Because it's less weather prone. Skyliner is newer with less mechanical downtime. If you look at unplanned downtime frequency, the Skyliner likely stops more often due to weather, which is an external factor, but very relevant.
So Skyliner has less mechanical downtime. That's something the monorail cannot say.
But the monorail is less weather prone.
Also, thus far, only one of these modes of transportation has had the door fall off.
Yes.
Been the or had an incident that resulted in death. Just saying.
It's also been around for like 55 years versus like 6 years. So give the Skyliner some time. It'll swing a few doors open and it will kill a few people.
That's okay.
Maybe.
Just let's give it hope time. Not. Let's really hope not.
Just give it time. It says the edge goes to the monorail, but for those reasons.
I feel like it's kind of waning back and forth.
Yeah, it is.
I'm starting to think that you had more influence on this, because, I mean, they specifically named the date and time of the Skyliner incident, but didn't even mention any of the monorail. Well,
we haven't gotten to safety record yet, so it'll mention it. You know it's going to happen. It's the big incident. We'll be there.
Okay.
So wait times and efficiency, this is probably going to be on what Skyliner wins. The monorail uses a batch loading system, so obviously the trains stop and unload and reload and everything. During most of the day, monorails run frequently. Waits are minimal, typically. It says trains arrive on each line every 5 to 10 minutes.
I don't know. I feel like that could be close to true, but I don't know. I've had some times when I felt like I was waiting longer. Maybe it was just the way I felt.
Yeah. It can, during peak hours, be very busy, which obviously if you're at Magic Kingdom and closed and you have to take the monorail anywhere, it's pretty lengthy of a wait.
Just take a boat.
Yeah, if you can. Yeah, the Skyliner wait times, it says one of the Skyliner's biggest advantages is the continuous loading. The gondolas are constantly moving through the station at slow speed, so guests load almost without stopping the line. This means even if there's a queue of people, it's constantly moving. Each gondola that holds 1 to 2 parties, but only one dispatch every few seconds. So the Skyliner tends to move through people very fast.
Gotcha.
So the verdict says Skyliner wins on wait times and loading efficiency. The continuous Omnimover style loading of the Skyliner keeps the queues moving and much and generally shorter.
I would agree.
Yeah, I agree too, because the monorail at peak times when everyone's going in and 360 guests per train is, you know, going to cause some massive queues when thousands of people are trying to get on it. So,
and I think so much when it comes to getting on to something, I think they like to get on the transportation as quick as possible so they can sit. that part's
that's true too.
A big thing. They like to feel like they're making progress. You always feel like you're making progress when you're getting onto the Skyliner because it's always moving. It's like a queue line that's constantly moving.
Yeah, I will say I don't think I've ever really waited that long for Skyliner. I think one morning at like trying to make rope in Epcot was the longest I've ever waited for a.
Well, think about it with Skyliner. If you see a line that's looks pretty long, it's usually you're not standing in it, you're walking it, right?
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, it's usually not too terrible. All right, so Skyliner takes that one. We got to churn through these. So safety record, here's where you're gonna see that it is unbiased here. Monorail safety. Now when you think about the broad history, it's been over 50 years, millions of passengers. Remarkably few serious incidents, but the most significant occurred July 5th, 2009, when two monorail trains, pink and purple, collided near the ticket center due to a switching error resulting in the tragic death of one monorail pilot and an injury of another cast member. So it was their first and so far only fatal incident on the monorail's history, but yeah, it's definitely much more safer now than it was back then.
And I wasn't trying to make light of the fact, you know, the fact that someone died by any means. I mean, it has been a while. I mean, it doesn't change
not trying to be insensitive with that. I was just, you know, having to bring that up the difference between the two. But this also sadly was marked the ending of being able to ride up front in the monorail.
Yes, officially. But when you think about, you know, this tragedy that did happen, it was, 2009 was like 38 years, is that right? After Disney World opened? Am I doing the math right?
Let's see. Anyway, so
71.
37. I mean, 38 years. Yeah, it was not quite 38 years.
Close to it. So 38 years of no fatal accidents and 50 plus years of only one fatal accident is still a pretty darn good safety record. Obviously, people are going to point to this incident as like,
the worst one.
Something happened, but out of millions that rode the monorail between 1971 and 2009, and even since then, it's pretty good safety.
Out of the millions and millions.
And it says overall guest injuries on the monorail had been extremely rare and is regarded as a very safe mode of transportation. The trains have multiple backup systems and rigorous block signal system, which is in effect now the MABO system.
Yeah, I think they had the ability to override that prior to this incident, and now they don't, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Like the driver had the ability.
Yeah. And it does mention the 1985 fire incident. And it says a maintenance worker actually did die in 2018 in a towing operation. I guess that's something else happened. But anyway.
Well, I guess on the bright side, if you're a guest, you're so far nothing. So,
yeah. So Disney Skyliner is newer, so it has a much shorter history, but it is obviously very safe as well. No deaths or serious injuries have been reported since it began operating in 2019. The biggest safety-related incident was October 2019 when it malfunctioned. We talked about that earlier. The guests were stranded and some minor injuries like heat discomfort and things like that were reported, but no serious medical issues happened there.
So, the most serious, we'll say, incident in the Skyliner's history happened in the same month of its opening.
Well,
you have to think of it that way.
It does say there's two subsequent minor collisions. It says one happened April 2021 at Hollywood Studio Station, where two gondolas collided, and one in June 2021 at the Epcot Station, but no injuries occurred. The collision incidents tend to happen at crawling speeds and mainly cause glass damage in downtime. So,
well, there you go. Nothing like the first incident.
So I think the verdict says both systems are very safe, but the Skyliner has a cleaner record so far. It's hard to compare given the monorail has a much longer lifespan, but I think it gave that one to the Skyliner because of
much longer lifespan. I mean, well, I don't think we really know what the lifespan is.
Well, much longer operation time period, whatever you want to call it.
I think right now the current model of monorail is definitely pushing its lifespan.
That's for sure, yeah. So another factor here is theming. Obviously, the monorail is very iconic, and the Skyliner, while it still is, I would say, very uniquely Disney because of the wraps around them, you know, different characters and different colors. I think it's cool. You got to get the edge to the monorail on that one, right? I mean, it harkens back to the Disneyland monorail, even Bob Gurr's iconic design. Futuristic design, or
I don't know
what.
I've never seen a gondola that looks like what Disney has at Skyliner. I've seen monorails that look very similar to these monorails. So,
but they were copied from Disney, if they were.
As a matter of fact, isn't the old Mark IVs actually still in operation somewhere? Wasn't it? Wasn't that what we saw?
Well, Las Vegas.
Was that what it was? Or was it Vegas?
He was in for a period of time, but they don't need more, obviously.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
They used him for a little while.
But they did.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, I think you got to get the monorail that one, though. Come on. Even you would have to agree with that, right? No?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, it says monorail.
AI did its usual ambiguous answer on that one.
So. Yeah. All right, historical context, the monorail. This is a weird comparison to me, but monorail, you know, been around since day one.
Yeah, the historical, is this even a comparison?
Well, it said expanded in 1982, obviously, for the Epcot line. Skyliner is a recent addition. It was announced officially in July 2017 at D23.
Yep.
So, yeah, connecting the hotel. Skyliner officially opened 2019. I guess it's just talking about the history of them in general, but...
How long it took to build each one?
Yeah.
There is no telling how much that Epcot line, if they were going to try to build it today, how much that would cost.
Yeah, I think that would be... Yeah. So, construction timeline. Building in the original monorail was a major engineering project in the late 1960s. The beams were precast and shipped from Washington State. And yeah, the crews lifted them onto concrete pylons with cranes. One famous milestone was sliding the monorail beam into the Contemporary Resort before that hotel was completed. So yeah, it took several years leading up to the 1971 opening. And everything was ready for guest day one. Another big construction milestone was the Epcot line in the early 1980s, the 4-mile extension. Skyliner construction was impressively swift after a mid-2017 ground clearing. By late 2017, the station sites began on those. 2018, the distinctive towers and 6 miles of cable. And it says by mid-2018, many guests at Disney saw the pylons rising near Caribbean Beach, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, within, like, 2 years, it was completed. So, faster, much faster.
I think that's probably just speaks more about the era in which they were built more than anything else.
Yeah, I know the monorail is way more expensive if you ever try to expand it today. It's just... cost would be too much. It says there were many rumors that they were going to extend the monorail to Hollywood Studios, but just was too costly. Estimates often put the monorail construction on $100 million per mile. So $100 million per mile, making it extremely expensive to build new lines. So Skyliner was like $12 million per mile versus $100 million per mile. So that tells you why they built the Skyliner instead of expanding the monorail. Yep. So Skyliner wins there. And operational costs, clearly the Skyliner is going to win here because we already talked about that. I'm just going to skip through these because... So maintenance and upkeep, I think this is obvious that the Skyliner is cheaper to maintain than the monorails, which... explains why they haven't gotten new trains or had any major upgrades to the monorail in like 40 years. So Skyliner wins that one. Sustainability and environmental impact. I think they're both pretty eco-friendly, but I imagine the Skyliner is more so even still because the monorail runs on electricity, but it produces zero emissions. But it definitely takes a lot more electricity to run than the Skyliner.
They're both as clean as their electrical source.
Yeah. But I imagine the monorail takes a whole lot more electricity than the Skyliner. Plus, you know, has air conditioning, which also takes more energy. So there you have it. So here it is. Conclusion and overall winner. So each category, again, speed and travel, gave that one to the monorail. Capacity and throughput gave that one to Skyliner. Coverage and connectivity. It says we call it a draw, but Magic Kingdom tipped it slightly to the monorail.
Okay. Guest
experience was a tie or subjective. Downtime reliability, it gave that one to the monorail because of the weather issue with the Skyliner.
Mm-hmm.
Wait times and efficiency, Skyliner won that one, which I definitely agree with that one. Safety record, Skyliner won that one, although I don't know if that's a fair comparison over 50 years, but anyway.
Well, we'll see, and when the Skyliner's been in 50 years.
Perhaps, yeah. Theming gives it to the monorail, I agree with that one. Historical context, I think you have to give monorail that one. It says construction and milestones, Skyliner, because it was built much more quickly and is cheaper. That's kind of where the rest of these lie. It's all Skyliner. Expansion is much more likely with the Skyliner. Operational costs, way cheaper than the monorail. Maintenance and upkeep, also way cheaper than the monorail. And sustainability is cheaper because the Skyliner uses less electricity. So it says if we tally these up objectively, the Skyliner comes out ahead in a majority of the categories. It excels in practical metrics like throughput, efficiency, cost effectiveness, and sustainability. The monorail wins in a few key areas, notably speed and intangible Disney magic and nostalgia factor, as well as reliability and bad weather.
I know that was difficult for you to read.
So. Yes. It is. That's why I asked my AI, given this startling news.
Startling news.
Yes. What would your heart say is the winner? If you disregard all the scientific facts and you just gave me your opinion, that's basically what I said. And here was the answer. It says you're really asking the real question. Science gave us Skyliner as the champ. But let me tell you what my heart says. It says monorail is the Beyonce of travel, Disney travel. Whatever. Right. End of.
What does that mean?
I don't know. It says the monorail is a whole vibe, that smooth glide, the futuristic tunnel sound when it accelerates, the smell of those air-conditioned cars mixed with a hint of sunscreen and excitement.
What?
Mildew, I would say, and sweat. I don't know. B.O. I don't know. That's the scent of my childhood. Like, ooh. So this AI was...
Y'all doing B.O.? Is the scent of your childhood?
So that's what I remember. It's like there's nothing like pulling up to the Magic Kingdom with Cinderella Castle peeking through the windows and hearing, please stand clear of the doors, you know.
This is true. There's no nostalgia there.
There is, yeah. It says Skyliner is cute. She's the new girl on the block with the stylish wrap dresses, aka character gondolas. And she knows how to make an entrance. She's efficient. She's echo conscious. She gives you that 360 view selfie magic. I respect her hustle. She's the Gen Z TikTok star to the monorail seasoned Grammy winning diva.
Okay.
But when it comes to that feeling, that goosebump moment, we're really here energy. The monorail still hits different.
Yeah. Still hits different.
Riding the monorail through the Contemporary Resort like you're in a sci-fi theme park from the 70s. That's a core memory that the Skyliner can't give you.
I would say that is your AI trying to suck back up to you. But
probably, yeah. It says, so if there's a transportation with heart contest, I have to give it to the monorail. She's the queen. She might be high maintenance. She might be a little tired, but she still sounds like a disco ball in Tomorrowland.
Okay. Going a little overboard.
Yeah. The Skyliner might run the show now, but the monorail built the stage. I like that. It's a good line.
And actually, the wraps, I'd actually prefer to be in one that's not wrapped. Just because I can see out.
Right.
Yeah. Like I can see out the Skyliner.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's all right, I can see a lot better. I got an unwrapped Skyliner.
So I would say my favorite gondola would be specifically a yellow. I think I like the yellow. Mm-hmm. It looks just better to me out there. A yellow wrapless.
Yeah. Right. So what's your favorite wrapped one though? Because there's a lot of.
It's kind of a tough call. I think the one that first comes to mind for me though is Haunted Mansion.
That's definitely a good one with the hitchhiking ghost, yeah. Right?
Yes.
Mine is probably the red one with Mickey and Minnie and the Fab Five characters on it.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, that's a good choice. I kind of like looking out and seeing, you know, the ones I can, you know, to see what the unique ones they have, actually. I feel like they've changed it up some.
Yeah, I think they've added things in occasionally. You know what's is a little frustrating, I'll say, for my kids is they'll see one coming around the corner and they'll be like, oh, I want the Tiana one or whatever. I want the whichever one. And then, of course, we'll be like just in front of it or just behind it. Like, oh, I don't want Winnie the Pooh. I want Tiana or, you know, whatever.
Do they even have a Winnie the Pooh one? I think they do. I mean, I've never seen one, I don't think.
Yeah, they do.
They do? Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like they'll see one and they want that one. But I'm like, well, I can't control which one we get. Like, it's just, yeah. You know.
They'll be like, I want a wrapless one. I want a wrapless one. Crap.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, those are hard to come by. Those are very few and far between. I will say, though, because of the variety, I stay on the Skyliner a whole lot more than the Monorail these days. But
because of the value, you mean?
Well, yeah. Well, again, the variety of resorts is basically what I meant. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I still love the Monorail, though, personally, but. Dang, it's expensive to stay on the monorail.
You know, it's funny. Until the Skyliner was built, you don't really realize just how close those resorts are in some cases.
Right. You just never had to connect them before, yeah.
Right. And once you have something to connect them, then you're like, oh, this is a resort loop, so to speak. Yeah. I mean, after all.
Yeah.
That's a short ride from the Pop Century Art of Animation to the Caribbean Beach Station. It's pretty short. You would have never thought they were that close if you hadn't had that pathway created. Right. Yeah. So
as I said earlier, my upcoming trip is, I'm saying I picked Pop Century for now. I might change it, but I was looking at Caribbean Beach and it was about $100 a night more than, I think it was about $80 a night more than Pop Century. And I'm like, I don't know. I just went with Pop because I think it's not much different. I mean.
Well, food would be a little better.
Yeah, that's true.
A little bit better theme.
Mm-hmm. Pool's better at Caribbean Beach. No question.
Pool is definitely. Well, Caribbean Beach pool, their splash pad, if your kids like splash pads, is really good too.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt.
But then again, they do a good job all across the resort now with splash pads.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've actually seen enough of them now that we might could actually like explore that as an option one time and just say which one has to like count down the splash pads.
Maybe. Yeah. Even though Coronado is probably our overall favorite resort, we went with Pop because the Skyliner. That was the reason we went with it, because we don't have to drive to two of the parks
you want to go to, one probably want to go to the most if you're an adult,
especially. Yeah, Epcot for sure. So yeah, it's hard to not. I mean, the Skyliner's got its place now in the Disney.
I think what you have to do is you have to choose which place you think you're going to frequent, yeah. If you're going to look at it that way, as to which mode of transportation you're going to go.
And I think if they do expand Skyliner to Animal Kingdom, it would help, you know, more people go there.
It might.
To give a better option than just bus, because I definitely think it's helped Hollywood Studios.
You know, they're close enough. It would have been nice if they had given some sort of a, like an unusual, we'll say, option to get from Animal Kingdom Lodge to Animal Kingdom rather than just bus. Like, you know, they could have.
Yeah.
Come up with an idea, I would think, that would fit the theme. But
maybe anyway. A safari vehicle. Maybe. Back and forth. I don't know. Something. I hear what you mean, yeah.
Or they could have, if they had gone, if they could go back and do it again, I think they might would have tried to actually build it close enough where they could have some sort of a park entrance.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine that? Yeah, if it was like the Rainforest Cafe entrance, you had your own I think it makes sense, wouldn't it? Even if it's a decently long trail, if you could walk there, a lot of people would do it. So I agree with that. I think they should.
I think that was a
mistake.
A big miss, we'll say. Hindsight's 2020.
Yeah. Well, all right. I think, you know, science says Skyliner, but my heart says monorail. So,
you know, I really, in all honesty, I like both. But, I mean, I've just grown to, I think the Skyliner's kind of become my favorite of it, just because, like I said, the intimacy, the views, it's like flying over things versus like beside them.
Right, having track below you.
Or through them in the case of the Contemporary is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I think my favorite and most scenic part of the Skyliner is that when you're going over the rooftops of the buildings at Caribbean, I mean, that's the most scenic part of the whole thing, in my opinion.
Yeah. And then you go down into Riviera, which is a beautiful resort. So it's pretty cool to see.
You know, you get out there, you cross the highway, you can actually hear what's going on outside because it's open air, right? And you can see Epcot from a good distance when you're on your way to it.
Yeah. You do get a lot of backstage views of Epcot, which, does that ruin the illusion? I guess not anymore.
I feel like they're, right now, it's just because the shrubbery's not grown back up, I think. I think they're working on that. I think over time, once the trees grow back up, you're not going to see as much.
Yes, I mean, that's a big show building for Ratatouille that you see a lot of the back of, but...
Yeah, I've never really paid attention. I haven't. Not most of the time. I think it blends in well enough. It's definitely better than anything. I mean, the worst eyesore of any of the things you can see is back of Galaxy's Edge. So it's coming, I mean, seriously.
Yeah, that's true.
The back of Batu is the worst eyesore in all of Walt Disney World.
Yeah, you're driving Osceola or whatever, whichever road it is.
I just can't believe that right there, the spires, like knowing that they can be viewable, why they wouldn't have like covered themed that side of it too. Yeah, why they wouldn't have themed that side of it too.
Cheap. They didn't spend the money on that.
They didn't, they spared expense.
You did. Some of those spires are on like a pole that's like, you know, 3 feet. And it's just a tiny spire at the top. That's it.
Yep, pretty much.
Alrighty, well, that'll do it for this episode. So, where can we be found out there?
Well, we can be found on Facebook, Twitter, X, that is, and Instagram. That is all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store, which you can get your exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast. We also have a YouTube channel where you will find all of our episodes and some video that we have from our trips there over the years and also newer. And where can you find that, Adam?
Our website, which is travelingwiththemouse.com. You can email us podcast at travelingwiththemouse.com, and you can find links to that and more on the website. So for John, my name is Adam. This has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip.
To Epic Universe.
What? On the monorail or Skyliner. My heart has grown fonder of Skyliner.
Your heart has? Okay.
Yeah.
It grew 3 sizes this day.
And of course, now I found the thing about the voices of the monorail spiel history, but out there.
Yeah.
I think it was Matt Hansen is the one that we liked best.
Yeah.